I remember the sounds of going to church with my mama. Let me see in my mama's church what they're doing. And people return back to these places to become frustrated and hurt because these places don't have what they're looking for. But what they were doing was considering the ways and things of old. And so you and I, to remain in Christ and progressive in our growth and development of our faith, have to look at a 3 John 2, which says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest," what, folks? "Prosper and be in," what? "Health." But now listen to this last statement. Because this is saying that no matter how new the day is or how new the season is or who's in control of what, that is not your business. That has nothing to do with you or your kingdom. This thing says, "Even as thy soul prospereth," which is your mind, will, and emotions. And the only way to cause them to be in order is to develop your spirit, who is the possessor of your soul, who is in control of the saving of your soul. Lord, have mercy. And so if you can catch what God's trying to say, he's saying, if you will just develop you, then your soul will come into check. And that's when you will prosper. See, some of us have the faith, but we lack the discipline. And we don't know that means that there's a part of us, of our soulish man, that isn't developing, and that's holding back prosperity. You can be as spiritual as you want to be, but you got to line a tripart being of you up. Your spirit man in control, getting your soul together with the Word of God. Let's go turn to Romans 12. Go. As I'm finishing this statement, Romans 12, you line it up, and then that'll help you also take control of your physical body. When you develop your faith, you have the authority, just as you do, to change your environment. That means you can change your body. If you have the right to reverse the curse that's in the earth, and you do, because Romans says that the whole earth wait groaning for the sons of God to manifest, if you and I have the authority to speak to ground and reverse the curse on it, then you have the authority to speak to your body, which is made from the ground, and reverse the curse in it. Amen. Well, can I get a strong amen? Amen. We're talking about a new way of doing things. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Now, what do we say, Romans? Hallelujah. I'm glad I obeyed the Lord. I'm glad to be up in this house. I was glad when they said unto me, come on, somebody, let us go to the house of the Lord. Woo, glory to God. Wish I had an organist right now. All right, Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, this means he's speaking to the body of Christ. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Okay, so now no one else can present you. And so the other revelation that God gives me to present to you is ownership of you and your day. Taking ownership of you and the day you're in. You take ownership of your destiny. You present yourself. Some years ago, before Big Daddy passed away, my grandfather, Patrick Hill, I gathered my family up, loaded up the gas tank, and drove them all the way to Detroit, Michigan, to his single apartment, where at 93 he was still taking care of himself. And what was my responsibility? Big Daddy, oh, boy, it's Todd. Let me tell y'all what Todd did. We didn't even get in there good. He went to going. And I loved him, so it was always just a treat to see him, and he just would shake while he'd laugh. But the thing was, he said, well, what you? I said, Big Daddy, I came to present my family. See, this is me. You understand? Nobody else could present my family. I was to present them. Okay? Which meant I was taking ownership of my destiny. Oh, Jesus. You present your bodies. In what manner, Brother Poyam? A living sacrifice. Well, that means faith is going to be involved. Don't give him nothing dead. A living sacrifice. That means your whole being, tripart being, spirit, soul, and body. That requires faith to present all of you before the Lord. We always, with our faith, talk of houses and money and cars and so forth. But there's a day that's arriving now where our faith is going to be even more critical in the presentation of ourselves as representatives of the kingdom. A living sacrifice. How? Holy. Well, that means set apart from. Different than. It doesn't mean you dress a certain way. Or you can't do this and you can't do that. Now, holiness will cause you to refrain from certain things. Why? Because you don't want to give up your other than. Amen. Come on, get that in your notes now. I want you to be able to look back on that. Put in your notes, I don't want to give up my other than. See, the Holy Spirit is God. That makes him different than any other spirit. So he's Holy Spirit. To be holy is to be sanctified, to be set apart for the master's use. You become holy by always putting to death your flesh. And through faith, accepting salvation and presenting yourself as the work of Jesus Christ. Well, boy, am I don't know about that. Well, you can't make you any better than what Christ has already presented you. You're thinking that you got to present you to Christ and he presents you to the Father, but I got news for you. He already did it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Love makes you give all of you to him. Living sacrifice, holy. Acceptable unto God, which means that he has prerequisites, stipulations. He doesn't just accept what you present. And when that says acceptable unto God, he goes on to say, folks, Paul says, this is a reasonable request of you. He doesn't really want all that much. He doesn't want to put something on you you cannot bear or handle. What's acceptable to him, again, is based on faith. But without faith, come on, Christians, it is impossible to please God. Isn't that what the word says? You've got that verse in multiple places. Well, what's going to please him? What will please him is the person who is willing to represent him through faith and cause the kingdom to manifest in the earth, affecting humanity. When he has the 1,000-year reign, that's not, we're talking the Son of God here. That's not going to be done through your flesh. You're not going to be able to reign with him with attitudes, with issues, with drama, with anger, with unforgiveness. You will not be able to reign with him with that. Are you hearing what I'm teaching you today? Those who will reign with him are those who are masters of their faith. Huh. What you talking about? That's how two men are going to be killed while the world watches, who were messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God. They'll be killed right in the streets before the whole world. And 3 days later, while the world is still watching, they're going to get up from the street. Because their faith is at a level. Come on now. I'm trying to teach to you something God's putting deep into my spirit. You got to know. You can't suspect. Whatever is promised in the word, get from the suspicions of, get away from the possibilities of, and get into the know. I know that what this verse says is going to work for me, and if I lay down early, God will raise me, because my faith is this verse will work in my life. I've then unlocked something that brings me back to life. This is the kind of faith God's talking about. I just taught you how to raise the dead. Glory to God. I was talking the other day and just running my mouth and said, I got to build my record. I need a new record on raising the dead. He says, no, you don't. You got three. You just got to add to it. I said, Lord, I forgot. He said, that's what you all do. When you cherish that I've used you, you will never forget. And you will use my prior experiences of working with you as a builder and developer of your faith to know that I will do it again. If all you're going to be is an average churchgoer, you're wasting Jesus' time and your own as well. So there are some things that are going to come back into play. Fasting. It doesn't make you holier, but it will draw your attention and cause you to focus on developing your faith. Yeah. It'll quiet your flesh down when you can't put that plate in front of you. Oh Lord. You can't turn that TV on. Some sobriety will come, especially if you ask the Holy Ghost to help you. You tell him, I'm going to need some help with this. You know, see, I'm honest. Whenever I go to fast and I tell the Lord, I'm going to need some help because I like to eat. And Lord, I'm going to need some assistance. And the grace of the Lord comes on me. That's why I'm not ashamed of what I'm sharing with you, because it is his grace that comes on me. All right, that preps me and assists me in walking out that process so I can get what I'm looking for. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? All right, and for you, that's the what? Word of God. And in it, what happens? How often? Say that again. Say it one more time. Now make this confession. I will meditate on God's word both day and night. Say that.
I will meditate on God's word both day and night.
Now you just awakened something. Now what your spirit just did was went and got the chair that it always sits in, and it's pulling it up to the table. And it's going to the drawer now to get the necessary utensils because it's getting ready to feed. Because now it knows you ain't going to stop. As a matter of fact, for some of us, it's going to have to be intravenous. We're going to have to hook a line right in there. And to come on now, tell the word, just give me the water first. Just give me the water of the word. Just come on. Drink that verse of all the water, because that's what I'm going to need. And then I'll be ready for some other, you know, substantial meat and potatoes. Okay, so this is going to stop us. Now, I'm teaching to those of you that have went far with your faith. This message was for no babies. Some of us have gotten to the place where we're stagnant, or we feel like we're going in circles, or we feel like we're not going any higher or deeper in our faith. And it's not what you're hearing. It's your pursuit. I'm going to do a new thing. I don't even want you to remember the old stuff. I don't even want you to consider the old stuff. Now, it says here in verse 2, and be not conformed in Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How, folks? By the renewing of your mind. See, there we go. Well, that's how we get rid of all the old stuff, so that we can fit into Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, right? Okay, so that means we got to get all the old stuff out. And along with that is getting all the old stuff of failures. Some of us are rehearsing sins. Why would you do that? If Christ paid for them and the blood of Jesus covers them, and washes them away, and your record is clean, why are you meditating on it like it has something to give you? Yeah, you might want to be writing them verses down or them words I'm giving you, because I'm teaching you something. You get quiet because religion teaches us not to meditate on the covenant. The covenant was given in anticipation of your failure. Well, you're not ready for me today. But I came ready to teach. Let me say it again. God gave you this covenant, the word, anticipating, knowing, expecting you to run into failure. I mean, why would Jesus be your mediator? Why would the verse says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins? Well, if that's the case, then why did the master go to the Father and say, I always do those things that please you. I will be that sacrificial lamb, and no man will take my life. I will lay it down. And before then, he spilled his blood. Well, this is important, because if I can get you off of you and on to him, I heard Joseph Prince teach one time that the Father looks at the Son, and Joseph Prince was correct. The verses teach this. He looks at the Son, and he's pleased. In the Son is you. And he sees the finished work. The scripture says, they didn't say that God was in the Son, attempting to reconcile the world unto himself. It says that he was in the Son, reconciling the world back to himself. What does that mean? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he repositioned us to be back in relationship with him. Now he doesn't look at us from the tainted position. Jesus was able to adjust the Father's sight by pleasing him. So Jesus, who was the author and finisher of our faith, had enough faith that the Father would be pleased with just his action, his passion of the death, burial, and resurrection from the cross of Calvary. It will be enough to please the Father. What pleases the Father now is you believing that the Son did it. Church people struggle with that. And then go back out and sin through the week. And then come back to church because they only feel good if they can cut that step. Sing that song. Shout that shout. Hear that preacher rev it up. Get into the key of E. And then the saint said, ooh, oh, I've had quite an encounter with the Lord. I feel clean. I feel ready. Oh, man, What is the difference between when you sin and that moment that you feel that way? What is it that you did different that you thought actually cleansed you? What do you have that you can cleanse you with? Nothing. Well, I can cleanse myself with the word. Yeah, but you got to go to John 1 and 1 and understand that the word is God. And you're right, but it takes him. This is good stuff. So God is shifting away from any reliance upon religion with this new day to making preparations. Well, I'm teaching prophetically. Making preparations for the installation of the greatest reign that's ever been on this sphere of existence. This realm has never had anyone rule it like the Savior will. When he arrives in Jerusalem, you're going to have faith to know that you're going with him. We got to promote this gospel of the kingdom just so the world has an idea of what to do with this risen Savior. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. So you got to transform yourself. Renew. Replace old with new. Am I born, y'all? Let me see. I want to make sure. Oh, I got 8 minutes. Stay with me, please. Renew your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord just shot something to me. I'm going to say it so I've got the right timing on it. This word from God will teach you that if you develop your faith as richly as you're supposed to, you could look at a $5 million building and have $5,000 and look up to your Savior. Bless the 5,000. Sow it. And call in your multi-million-dollar building. And it'll manifest the next day. I just messed y'all up. But this is where God is going. Where he is looking to give you things you're preparing to purchase. Better write that down, get that in your spirit. We are doing base level faith work. We're asking God for money to make acquisitions rather than develop our faith as currency to receive the desires of our heart. We're allowing pressure, anxiety, heaviness, and worry to come on us over money issues when your faith is your currency exchange for peace. Renewing your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, the will of God is that you should be blessed. How about this? Now unto him who is able to do what? Come on. You know where it's at? Tell me. Ephesians 3:20. Now, the verses also say that the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead is alive in you. Now, boy, I tell you what, this church catch a hold of that. You'll have 1,000 people sitting at your house. Oh, glory to God. Just trying to get 5 minutes of your time so that power would get out on them. We wouldn't even be able to get in no sanctuary. Now, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly. Now here we go. According as God hath dealt to every man, every believer, what? I can't hear you. So he's giving every one of us a portion of his faith. And that's why this morning when we sent out that note, Lord, put that in my spirit, Mark 11:19-24 teaches you to have the God kind of faith. It's time for some stuff to be given. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time for somebody to have a house given to them, a car given to them, a promotion given to them, a company given to them, a church building given to them. It's time. Glory to God. And this is what is rich in my spirit. This is where we're going. We don't have time. Now listen, they tell me now for my retirement, I should have been putting away whole lots of money for this amount of years. I don't have time to go back and fix that. But for all those years, I gave to the kingdom. That was my retirement plan. Whew, glory to God. Now I'm about to build my faith up to go with that. Glory to God. And when God gets through, I'm going to be rich. No, you ain't heard me. I'm gonna own some jets and I'm gonna own a business or two and I'm gonna go all around the world and teach and preach. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. And so will you. God has called you to go far beyond what you've been willing to look at. You done set your little comfort zone up where you run this way and run that way and run this way and run that way and you feel good because it's all set up. You got that thing all put together and you got the money to do it and everybody's happy. Woo! And yet there are masses of people that are still hurting because you can't see outside of your circle. Jesus kept traveling. He kept seeing beyond. Matter of fact, he got so into his faith that he saw a woman that was on a whole different path from where he was going. And the path he had to take to get to her was going to exhaust him. And he did it and took that path just to free her mind so that she would know who the Redeemer was. I mean, are you willing to see beyond where you always go that there is somebody sitting? Don't ever pass that lady sitting at the water fountain any longer looking at her and say, well, I don't know why she sits there every day. She's waiting on your ministry. Make your way on over there, buy her a piece of meal or something, and sit down and say, I just came. Jesus sent me. What is it that you need me to say? And if you need me to leave, I can do that too. My God, I go and preach to somebody. We're trying to find money. God wanted you to sow yours and go find soul. Glory to God. And the souls is what you get as your harvest. You network and you meet all kinds of people. I'll close with this. We're teaching our children how to get in a vehicle, drive all the way down somewhere, meet somebody. You know, we drove all the way down to Charleston. We sat through a hockey game. You know, and it's hard when people talking about the folk you love. You know, because his jersey has his name on it, and everybody can see the jersey, and they're talking about his mama, talking about his daddy. You know, and I sent word down the line. Don't nobody pay attention to anything or respond to anything anybody's got to say. And I mean, the guy sitting right over here, he's hollering, "Hey, Williams!" You know, and he's got, "Your daddy stinks." I mean, he's just hollering stuff. And I'm saying, this is American sports? Wow. Little kids right below us, you know. And I'm just saying, "Lord, this is amazing." He says, "Well, just wait. Just wait." And afterwards, we couldn't get any help to find him. So pretty soon, I saw, now listen, this is why your spirit's important. I saw a security officer that had the right spirit. I said, "Brother, come here." He said, "Yes, sir, what can I do?" And I explained the situation. He said, "All right, you wait right here. I'll go get him." Just like that. Went and got the person. He came out, you know, glad to see us. We took pictures, made a connection between him and other folks. And what's his name out of Dallas, Texas? The great pastor. Tony Evans's, you know, where his people are connected. We meeting all kind of people because the gospel, because out there seeing, man, we didn't even have to gas up. Didn't take much gas. God anointed the vehicle to gas everything. Turned right back around, and I ain't even had to take no naps. Drove on back. I mean, well, of course, we were laughing at all the things they were saying, but I'm saying, why is your world so closed? The most consistent thing you should have in your life, you ready? Should be where you worship. That should be your most consistent thing. Everything else, yeah, be nice if your house was consistent. You know, if you're married, be consistent. You know, but listen, when you get to heaven, the consistency that will be tested is what you showed him. So go outside of your circle. Come back here and get fed. Go back outside your circle. Come back here and get what? Fed. Go outside your circle and then come back here and get what? Fed. Don't let your job have more consistency than your worship. Now, if your job makes you work instead of coming here, don't give up your job and say, "Pastor, you told me to give up my job," because that's not what I told you to do. Use some wisdom, but you go to God. I went to every job I had that resisted me worshiping. I went to God, and God gave me something better. Thank you all for listening to me. This is the beginning of what he's put in my spirit. Let me sum it up for you. What God is expecting from you more than anything is to see bigger. Develop your faith to greater. So, because the word is true, not to see if it is true. And so not just money. So your words every day over people's lives. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to obey you. We'll rely on your Holy Spirit now to take this word further into the hearts, the hearing, the memory of your so great of a people. We receive the seed of your word. There's no corruption in it. We thank you, Lord. We planted it in the good ground of our hearts, and we receive a 100-fold return today. put some excitement in us. Help us, Lord, that we're excited over your word, excited over the revelation knowledge and insight that you've provided to us, excited over walking out your word. Thank you, Lord. We believe we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't come to do this for an offering.